B-Pod Studios.
The Sports Hub app. Get the app. Get the Sports Hub. Get Toucher and Rich. Down. Download the Sports Hub app today.
Bounce pass. Knocked away by Kyrie. He saves it from going out of bounds. Morris lead for Horford. Hand to Jason Tatum. Two-hand slam. And the Celtics are running away and hiding here in game four.
Boom, yeah.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Sub app. Get the app. Get the Sports Hub. Get Toucher and Rich. Down. Download the Sports Hub app today.
Bounce pass. Knocked away by Kyrie. He saves it from going out of bounds. Morris lead for Horford. Hand to Jason Tatum. Two-hand slam. And the Celtics are running away and hiding here in game four.
Boom, yeah.
98.5 The Sports Hub will be joined by Danny Ainge in just a matter of moments. One of the fun things about having Sean Grandy in here is that he literally couldn't tell you what Cedric Maxwell meant when he said...
Bang, bang, Santa Claus.
By the way, I was watching... I fell down a wormhole, and I was watching basketball fights on YouTube.
Yeah. Did Danny Ainge come up immediately?
Yep. Yeah, of course.
Danny Ainge and Tree Rollins.
But there's the one where Cedric Maxwell just took on the crowd, where he was under a basket and he just started fighting the crowd.
I don't remember that one.
I got to see that.
Yep.
I haven't seen that.
What year was that?
We were in Philadelphia. He went into the crowd.
Early 80s, Celtics and Philly were big, so I'm sure that was in that period of time.
I wonder what kind of punishment he got for that. Because today's day and age, I mean, you would be, since we're on our test, you just can't do that. I wonder if he got any kind of punishment.
I'm sure he got like a game. But yeah, if you go, well, someone just went into the crowd. Oh, no, that was on that video. The guy in the Knicks like thought someone was screwing with his wife, so he like ran up into the crowd and saw what was going on. His wife's like telling him, no. And he ran up there, and I don't think he got suspended because he didn't like do anything, but like he looked and thought someone was messing around with his wife for like heckling her or something, so he ran up there.
Yeah, you don't suspend someone for that, because to me that's just kind of funny.
I don't know if I want a 6'10", 400-pound
guy. Looking at you? He just looks at you.
Running up in a threatening manner, and I paid money to be there? No, there's nothing. You wouldn't like that. You'd crap your pants.
Yeah, maybe, but it'd be funny.
No, it wouldn't. You'd crap your pants.
Yeah, but should you be suspended?
Yes, you can't go into the crowd. You're the guy who doesn't like Westbrook complaining about the kid touching him.
Yeah, because that's being whiny. But that would be funny, him running up there and scaring
somebody. If you were the target of his wrath?
Oh, no, I crap my pants.
Yeah.
But then again, I wouldn't be messing with that guy's wife.
But no one was. His wife kept telling him, "No, what? Nothing's happening." First of all, what's he looking in the crowd for? And second of all, no. I pay to attend an event with my money and I go there on my leisure, I don't want a man who could pulverize me and there's literally nothing I could do about it running up to me in a threatening fashion.
I didn't swing or anything. I mean.
Right there, Muhammad Ali.
I looked up the Maxwell fight.
Richie Demon Shirtley.
I looked up the Maxwell fight. It was during a preseason game.
Oh, 1983.
Where was it?
It was in Philly.
Wow.
Is that Danny calling your phone? Yeah.
maybe Danny can tell
you. Okay. Old school, okay. Like 1970s phone ringer.
Yeah, that's because no one else does it. All right, if you had to guess who called me, it's a number that I know.
Zolak.
No. It's a company.
Oh, it's CVS.
My brain pills.
Yeah. There's a great article that was out, once again, about Brookline. And it was called, why are there two CVS stores 499 feet apart in Coolidge Corner?
I didn't think of that. That's true.
It says in Brookline's right. Coolidge Corner, two CVS stores are fewer than 500 feet apart. Ever wonder how the pharmacies came to be such close neighbors? Locals have their theories. The drugstores sit diagonally from one each other at 294 Harvard Street and 1322 Beacon Street. It says, according to Google Maps, they are 499 feet apart. But that's not even as bad as someone like that.
Do you know the lines at both of those are like an hour?
And that's probably why.
Have you ever been like with an old guy or girl is in there and they get like that like sack of pills, like where there's like the paper bag?
Sure.
You ain't getting out of there. If I
it's
see
like a
that,
pill happy
if,
meal.
If I see that happy meal, it's like a pill wall or a pill Whole Foods bag. When I see that bad boy come down, you ain't getting out of there. I'll leave. Because there's going to be questions, and they're going to not know how to pay, and all hell's going to break loose. And then there's going to be an insurance issue. I mean, you're not getting out of there. I saw a girl at CVS cry because this old lady was giving her such a hard time. And it was like over a dollar or something ridiculous.
It's great, too, because we've been trying to get like some of these 911 calls to Brookline because we see them printed out, like what they're calling 911 about. And it's always about, well, the most two recent ones are, of course, those scooters that they just launched. Because everyone's complaining that they're being left in their front yard, that somebody is riding it without a helmet. It's none of their business.
Again, the scooter in Brookline is the stupidest idea.
Oh, it's the best. It's the best for us.
Well, for us, it's fantastic. I mean, but of all the places to go, you know what? Let's start this new initiative.
In the angriest place in the city.
Brookline is the last place you go. Brookline is like, it's still, they have like a law book from 1812.
Right.
That they, like, women can't vote in Brookline. they play by the colonial rules.
They still have leechings.
Yeah. There's two CVS stores, 400 feet apart.
And the best, too, is that there's people that are being chased by turkeys. And they're calling 911.
Yeah. They're being chased by turkeys.
I guess a woman made the news because she got attacked by them.
She's pregnant.
Yeah.
She can't. You can't have that. That turkey will, these things go berserk. They start throwing a fit.
I saw turkeys in Boston Common, and I'm like, how the hell did those turkeys get to Boston Common? Like, how do they get there?
And, why can't you...
Do you ever see them fly when they take off? Because they sleep in trees. In my backyard, they sleep up in the trees.
What about the WKRP where they throw the turkeys out?
With God as my witness, I thought turkeys could fly.
Right. But they can fly up in a tree?
At night when they go to sleep, they in my backyard, they make the noise like they've just crashed into... They can't stay on the first branch that they land on, then they fall, and they make this unbelievable noise. But, yeah, I've got about 10 or 12 of them in the backyard.
Like
they sleep up in the trees, and they make a horrible noise.
Now, if you were to kill one of them, what is the punishment for killing a turkey?
Oh. I mean, I don't know. Like, I mean, if you're being attacked, it probably is none. Like, that's self-defense. Like, if you're being attacked by the turkey...
Because I always see the turkeys, and I'm like, you know, people eat, like, a lot of turkey.
Yeah.
Like, why do these guys just get to walk around like nothing's happening?
There's probably some sort of punishment if you just in a park walk up and shot the head off a turkey.
I think it's
fairly disturbing.
I think, like, a weapon, that'd be firing a gun in a public space. But, like, I always think to myself, like, I don't want to kill them or nothing, but I always think, like, why do these turkeys get to run around all over the place? Like, you know, there's a place like a farm, like a farm to table place, like out in like Weston that's killing turkeys by the dozen.
Sure. But they got a turkey killing license.
I was just going to say there's some Turkey Protection Act in place.
I'm telling you, I bet you it's like a felony. I bet you it's a felony to kill one of those turkeys. No doubt about it. But meanwhile, if I got a farm, like it could even be like a little farm.
You got to get a license.
Hey, because if I have a turkey... I know people that have chickens in their yard and they kill them and eat them.
Yeah. Because they own the chicken. That would be the difference.
Yeah, it's their chicken. And obviously to kill a bird, you're supposed to have a license.
Can you go out and purchase a turkey in today's day and age?
You need a hunting license, but what if you just pummel them?
Is there a farm you can go to and buy turkeys so you can go kill them for Thanksgiving?
I just wonder how the hell the turkeys got in Boston Common.
That's a good point.
That's one hell of a journey.
It's like when they're in the road and they're like just sitting there and everyone's just got to stop and they're honking their horns. Like, why can't you just run over
them? I remember I got stuck at an intersection.
F up your car. Those are big. They're big-ass turkeys.
That's true. I got stuck at an intersection in Needham for like 10 minutes because five turkeys crossed the road.
And let me ask you this. If you hit a squirrel, there's no punishment.
No.
So what's up with I'm being dead serious. I think about it all the time. I'm like, why do these turkeys... Like, why are those off limits?
Those squirrels are ballsy at Boston Common. They'll come right up to you, and they're fat. If my dog had his way, he would murder 8 squirrels a day.
Your dog is barely bigger than the squirrel.
And he'd destroy those efforts. Like,
really?
That's all he wants to do when he goes out
Your
there.
Your dog literally is maybe, what, 11 pounds?
He's the dog from up. It's squirrel! As soon as he sees him, he just dials in. And you don't know how many times I've had to jerk him back. Because those squirrels are just like all fat because people go up to him and feed him all this crap. And they're just like, he's not going to eat. He's going to eat me. And then he's like, next thing you know, he's like, he came out with like fur in his mouth one time. He got like a bite out of him.
It's a rabies.
It could have.
Sean, go ahead.
Hey, listen, man. Don't ever get into a fight with a turkey. Those birds will mess you up. I had a turkey freaking chase me in my driveway the other day. Them suckers, that middle claw, if they kick you with that middle claw, that thing will open you right up.
Wow. Did it get you?
No, hell no. I ran my car.
That's the thing is that if they hurt you, you're defenseless. Wild turkey regulations.
Oh, there are.
Hunting hours. Spring turkey season.
Oh, Monday is open season?
You need to get hunting or a sporting license and a turkey permit. And you're allowed 2 wild turkeys.
Do you have to have one of those guns with the big round end, the blunderbuss?
A blunderbuss?
Is like, that what they're called? From back in the day
with
the
album, like
the Mayflower guns?
Right?
Yeah.
Which album is that?
Isn't that what it's called, a blunderbuss?
Listen, it got them North America.
All right.
Legal to hunt turkeys with the aid or the use of anything, bait dogs, live decoys, electronic calls, drive herd turkeys.
It is a blunderbuss.
What?
Pardon me. And the smoke goes everywhere. It's like a gun horn.
Spring turkey season's only a couple days.
What, you have 48 hours to bag as many as you can, and then you have to stop?
You got
to
have a license, and you just go with a machete and just exact revenge on these things.
When's the last Monday? This Monday, it starts.
Oh, okay. I saw the story. Someone says there's a turkey in my town that someone shot with an arrow, and we've seen it flying around for the last 5 years. It survived, and you can see the arrow sticking out of the side of it. It's crazy. I've heard about that. This turkey's been around for, I mean, like she says 5 years, but I know at least for like a couple they've been reporting on it. It's the arrow turkey. He won't die.
The turkey season starts Monday. So I don't know. So go get your license. You can only get 2 of them.
Turkey season starts Monday, and you can only hunt on that one day?
No, or Monday, and then the fourth Monday after it ends.
Oh, I see. So you have a month to bag 2 turkeys.
Yes.
Someone just said, do you dopes not really not know the difference between a wild turkey and a domestic turkey? Nope.
No.
Why? I don't.
Why?
How is a turkey that's running around?
Unapologetically, no. I have no idea.
How is there a turkey that's running around, not a domestic turkey? How is that a domestic turkey? A dog running around is a
domestic dog, usually. I don't know many wild
dogs. No, if they're
dogs.
What about like one of them wolf dogs, the coyote?
Oh, the ones that they breed. I've seen those.
Yeah, they're running
I've
wild.
I've seen the breeding of the wolf and the dog. I've seen
like
it.
A feral
Watch a lot
cat?
Of YouTube videos for that. Yeah.
All right. Well, that's what you get when Danny Ainge blows us off.
Not our fault.
You get a nice break about turkeys. All right, Jake DeBrusk. Hopefully, we'll call in or we'll start talking about mice. We'll be right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Watch Toucher and Rich on Twitch. Follow the Sports Hub on twitch.tv for live shows and reruns. 98.5, The Sports Hub.
98.5, The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Jake DeBrusk is a player on the Bruins. He is going to be along with them playing this evening against the Columbus Blue Jackets. Jake DeBrusk, you were on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Hello, Jake.
What's going on, boys? How are you?
We're doing well. All right, I wanted to ask you this before, and I thought I'd get crap because it was so dumb. But here I go. On a game day like today, what is your schedule?
What is my schedule? Like, usually just right now, I'm on my way to the rink right now, and then do some video, probably have a pregame skate, go home, play a little, video games, do my normal routine, and then head to the rink.
All right.
What game do you play? What's your game of choice?
Whatever the boys are playing, we kind of switch it up a little bit, but, whatever game, Aussie has about four or five guys that can play on the team, and we kind of just play together and try to win.
And currently, what is that game?
I would say it's Fortnite, probably. It's the main game that we play. Yeah, we've gotten pretty good at it.
All right, give me your handle, and I can give it to my son, and you can listen to him.
I don't know if I should say it on here, because Pasta one time put on a story, and it was like, anytime like we went online, it was like our thing, our feed was just getting fed. But I can for sure firstly give it to you.
Yeah, you can just get ready to hear when it's over, and then me get down when this game's over. Now, Milo, no. So you can look forward to that in your head. Yeah, sure. Real, I love Fortnite.
Yes, you need more stress in your life right now. All right, so the ice quality. I didn't know that it was an issue until Torrey Krug and Brad Marchand, they were complaining about it after game six when you guys were in Toronto about the home ice. How noticeable was it, and was there a definite, I guess, increase in the quality of it for game seven?
Yeah, I thought that they did a better job in game seven for sure. I think the puck was still kind of balancing, and it's obviously hard with the Celtics playing in the rink, and there's different elements that kind of factor into it. To be honest with you, it's pretty hot in there right now too. But there's definitely some iffy things going on. I think it was just more so the puck. If you watch the puck, even game seven, it was balancing, and I thought it was pretty good throughout the first period, and then second and third it started tailing off a little bit, but. I think it got better as it went along.
Now, when did you guys notice that this season? Was it just when the playoffs started, or had it been that way for a while at the TD Garden?
Firstly, I noticed it mostly in the playoffs, because I think everything's just kind of, under the microscope, so you notice things more. But, I think that it was pretty decent throughout the regular season. I think there was maybe a couple games where it was a little, the ice was a little tough in certain spots, but I think overall it was mostly in playoffs.
When something like that happens outside of, telling the press and it becoming a big story, what do you guys do? Like, do you go to Cassidy if you notice that you're out there in the ice? And I'm sure he probably notices as well. Like, if there's ever a major issue like that, who do you take it up with?
I'm not sure, to be honest with you. I think you just go out and play. You just try to, I guess, use it to your advantage. But, I'm not really necessarily a leader on the team, so I think the leader's kind of, we talk amongst players. I think it's one of those things where, we notice it pretty quick. Some guys are, really in tune with that kind of stuff, so they understand. I won't even know if my skates, haven't been sharpened in a month. So I'm a little bit kind of a wild card in that sense. But, definitely players talk about it, and then you notice it a little more.
So, go ahead. Okay, so when Conor McGregor showed up around St. Patrick's Day, you were obviously very starstruck, as were some of the players in the team. Was there any Bieber fever in the locker room for when he showed up for Game 7?
And if you don't know what he's talking about, Justin Bieber was in a box with his wife.
Jinxing the Maple Leafs.
Well, and then she kept rubbing his back, and it was just the most annoying thing to do. It's weird. Like, who wants to be touched that honestly much? Like, get your hands off me, woman.
And watch the game.
Yeah. Huh? So did you know he was here? There? Did you know that the celebrity of Justin Bieber was there?
Yeah, we did. We knew before the game that he was coming. We knew that. And obviously, he's a big Toronto Maple Leafs fan. He's from Toronto. But yeah, he came, and everyone's saying that he jinxed him. So I guess thanks, Bees.
Yeah.
Well, I think David Pasternak tweeted something to him. It was like, sorry, Justin, yeah. We'll get you. I forget. It was like, so we'll get you next time or something like that.
Yeah, I think Spit and Chiplets is making a shirt out of that. It's pretty funny, to be honest. It's pretty savage. I think he commented on his Instagram and then tweeted it, too. And I was with him, and he was like, look at this right now. And he was like, it was like his Twitter feed, and it was just absolutely blowing up. And I was like, well, yeah, you're a beaver. What do you expect? I was like, hopefully he doesn't reply, you know, but at the same time, I mean, I guess it's kind of cool. So it's kind of a win-win.
What do you think about Pasternak having a national Dunkin' Donuts commercial?
I think it's getting a little, I don't want to say annoying, but I see it all the time. That gets out there a lot, and it's kind of funny when we're watching games and he's right there, and it's like, hey, there's you. You know, he's out there, you know, in the tally box. I think he served one in Game 7, and I just kind of thought that would be kind of ironic if he played that Dunkin' Donuts thing when he went in the box.
How many times did you have to rewind the commercial to figure out what he was actually saying at the end of it?
Well, I took a couple takes. I needed him to actually translate it for me. No, he did a great job. That's obviously not usually what we do, but especially with him with that language barrier, he did a good job with that for sure. He did the best he could.
Now, speaking of Pasternak, I mean, they've been switching up the lines here. Cassidy has been, obviously, during this past series. And, you know, when that happens, like, how much of an ease is it with you now? Because you've skated with Pasternak before, but when they do that in the middle of a series, how quickly do you just start to feel comfortable? Is it almost immediate?
Yeah, especially now. We've had a couple games together this season. I want to say about a handful. And, you know, we're really good buddies off the ice as well, so it makes it kind of comfortable where, as before, I was pretty much intimidated to play with, you know, Gretsch and someone else, but in saying that, I think that we're just trying to find chemistry and trying to do anything we can to, you know, help produce at the right times. So that's what it comes down to this time of year. It doesn't matter if you, you know, score 10 goals or whatever and you lose 11-10. It's a matter of when and how.
Now, there was a definite difference between what we saw in Game 5 on this last Friday and the amount of energy that was in games 6 and 7. And what do you think that difference was? I know that many people are giving Sean Corrali a lot of credit that he came back, the energy was there. What do you think it was?
Yeah, I think that was a big part of it. Sean was a massive reason why, you know, we won both those games. I think that we had lots of players that, you know, stepped up. I think the biggest thing was just kind of desperation and, you know, your backs are against the wall, so you know, you're not going down without a fight, and we believed in the room that we could come back and win Game 7, and you know, we just need to go out there and make it happen, and the leadership really took over. I think Toronto scored first in Game 6, and they scored pretty quickly, kind of taking it to us, and you know, it's very easy, especially in that kind of environment, to kind of look the other way and kind of get, you know, in your own head and you know, maybe not believe or, you know, disbelieve, but the leadership group was very vocal on the bench, and next thing you know, we're up 2-1, and we end up winning that game, and we end up winning Game 7.
All right. When you look at Columbus and you see what the difference is in styles, are you – I'm going to change the question. All right. If they haven't played in, like, 9 days and you've had one day off, what situation is better?
Oh, I don't know, to be honest. I think that anytime you get rested this time of year is nice and is needed, especially when guys are, you know, dinged up, certain things like that. But, you know, you can use both. You can use it as rest, or you can use it as, you know, battle tested. And, you know, we're rolling our game. We like our game right now, and we just played against a very good team in Toronto and, you know, very confident. You know, I wish I had maybe a little more time, but and saying that, very excited to get going tonight.
Jake, you guys saw those guys near the end of the season two or three times, but they look like an entirely different team in the first round of the playoffs. So do those three regular season meetings mean anything?
Not really at this point, to be honest, because like you said, they're a completely different team right now. And, you know, give them a lot of credit. They just beat the best team in the league. They didn't even lose a game. So we understand that we're going into an absolute war here, and that they're going to be ready and definitely very hungry to get going. They haven't played in a while.
All right, Jake, tell me you have seen the videos of the Toronto, Maple Leaf Square when you guys won Game 7 the other night. Have you seen any of the videos of the Pit of Misery?
I saw one picture, and it had the Michael Jordan face on all of them, actually. That was the only one that I've seen. I've been kind of off social media. I was getting a little bit you know, a little too much hate that I didn't really need at the time. So I was just kind of bearing off. But I'm back on now, thankfully done with, you know, the Leafs and on to the next.
Wow, you got hate on social media. How novel. All right.
No, like, I'm not talking, like, regular hate. Like, this is a different level. Toronto's a different level. I was even getting booed, boys. Like, I don't know what was going on.
Did you have
that kind of view.
You know, it's amazing. We've seen how over the top some people take, you know, like, sports, and you know this firsthand. Like, what was the, like, did you get any death threats after all that was done, the whole Kadri incident?
Yeah, oh, yeah. It mostly, you know, during around game three. I think the fact that happened in game two and we're going into Toronto for game three, I was getting death threats consistently. And, you know, my family members are telling me that they were getting death threats as well. So I just wanted to kind of slow it down in a sense. So I just didn't go on it. And I was just, I mean, it didn't really affect me, to be honest, but it was a different, you know, aspect of what the reality is sometimes that I've never really been through because, you know, I've never really kind of put myself in that situation, but the boys were great, and it's awesome to be a part of this team right now.
Well, what do you do when you get a death threat? Because that's no joke, and especially if your family's getting it. Do you tell anybody in security, or do you report it?
There's too many, to be honest. That's the thing, is there's just too many things kind of going on, too many threats that were happening, and whether it was comments or, you know, direct messages or different things, there's just too many. I couldn't really report all of them. I didn't report any of them, to be honest, just because there were so many.
Oh, well, we live in a wonderful world.
Jeez. Oh, my God.
Right. What a great, thank God for the internet. All right, Jake DeBrusque, let's get positive thoughts. And best of luck tonight, and hopefully we talk to you next week because everything's still going. We appreciate it.
Thanks, boys.
All right. Have a good series, man.
There you go. Thank you.
I mean, people just suck sometimes.
You just casually dropped that in.
Well, I asked them.
I know, but I mean, it's just...
I asked good questions. That's why.
It was a matter-of-fact answer, I guess, is my point.
Well, I mean, think about that. You know, the death threat thing is ridiculous. Can you imagine going after an athlete's family member? As bad as it is, like, it's like in the heat of the moment saying, I hope you die or blah, 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 blah. But can you imagine taking the time to find the Twitter account or the Facebook of a family member of an athlete you don't like and threatening their life? I mean, that is somebody that needs to be reported.
It puts Toronto fans in a special class, well, no?
I mean, they're maniacs.
Man.
I mean, Twitter is just... I read this too, but I've often said it. We're not ready for Twitter. Human beings haven't evolved to a point where that we're ready for this. The idea of anonymously being able to contact anyone you want to and say whatever you want, we're not ready for it. We're not ready. There's a 2% of the population that exposes themselves for being psycho. And then when you report them and the cops go to their house, they start weeping uncontrollably and apologizing.
We've seen that firsthand.
Yes, we've seen that a couple of times. The death threat guys were not so tough.
That's not a joke. I mean, honestly, it's these people. Isn't a felony? A death threat a felony?
All I know is when the cops came to those dudes' houses that they sat there whimpering and
don't tell crying. My boss. Don't tell my wife. I'm going to get fired. My wife's going to leave me.
Yep. So.
And they found out who these fake names were, too.
Yes.
It's not tough.
No. They get the IP address and then they find out where you live and then they go get you. And the cops come to your house, then you start crying.
Didn't mean to end on such a weird note, man, but I mean, that's insane.
Well, listen, you have a little faith in humanity, and then it goes away.
It just gets taken off. Snap!
You assume it was like, hey, you a-hole, like, you suck, and then you find out that people are threatening to kill him and members of his family, because that's where we are.
By the way, I'm being sent the meme of Maple Leaf Square with all the Jordan faces.
You don't need the Jordan faces. They were crying.
You'd rather see the regular faces. Yeah, I mean, they're just like,
they were crying. All right, so what's coming up in the old Stackarooski?
You want to know who the highest paid cast members of Game of Thrones are? I will let you know what they make per year. On top of that, there is somebody being hunted down, not named LeBron James, to be an analyst this year for the NBA playoffs.
All right, here are the headlines.
The game.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Brady won't throw me the ball because he has no trust in me.
Rich.
I have a super dry tongue. Look.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Now it's time to get to the stuff that we couldn't get to. It's the stack.
.985 the Sports Hub. We are Toucher and Rich. And Rich, what do we got?
Well, no surprise that Tom Brady leads the NFL in merchandise sales once again. This list comes out all the time. And now there's a new list that comes out from March 1st, 2018 to February 28th of this year. At number one, Tom Brady. At number two, when it comes to all things merchandising, who?
I know the answer to this. I saw this list.
This one is fairly... This is fairly surprising.
It is surprising.
He didn't have a breakout year, but he also plays for a team where most merchandise is sold.
Right. Ezekiel Elliott?
Ezekiel Elliott is number four.
Close.
But Dak Prescott... Number two.
Yeah, it's always Dallas.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Carson Wentz coming in at number three, and a guy that I thought would actually be further up that list is Patrick Mahomes, seeing that this was his big breakthrough MVP year.
Kansas City, unfortunately.
Unfortunately, he is, but he is a superstar. And then you got Saquon Barkley coming in at number six. Aaron Rodgers falling down the list at number seven. The Q rating on him probably taking a hit over the last several months. Deshaun Watson coming in at number eight, Khalil Mack at nine, and Drew Brees at number 10.
However, you know who's just outside the top 10, Fred?
I know that Brady's holding a slot for a year, but yeah
it's just outside the top 10. You know who that is?
Sammy D.
No. Nope. Someone who likes to feel a bit dangerous.
Sammy D.
Baker Mayfield.
Yes, sir.
It's Sammy D. I like how Brady's got 1 year to enjoy it, and then Darnold fever takes over.
Right.
And then they go.
Is Sam Darnold on the list?
There's Jet fans, and I'm not joking. Like, when they do a map of, like, where people are fans, and this is not a joke, New York's blue, and, like, Queens and, like, Eastern Long Island are green.
Right.
Which Queens is Eastern Long Island, right? So, like, it's...
One small area of the entire state are Jet fans.
Like, you have to zoom in to see the green.
Yeah, once you get north of whatever, Poughkeepsie, it's all Buffalo, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah, and then everyone in Westchester and Rye and stuff are all Giant fans.
Right.
It must be nice in your limousine.
Is that what they say?
Yeah. Oh, Giant fans, so nice to see you. How was dinner with the Queen?
It's the classiest bunch of all.
Yeah.
Well, if you are there are a couple things that stood out as being interesting to me. Baker Mayfield being number 12, Odell Beckham at number 13, but Russell Wilson all the way down at number 19 behind guys like Mitch Trubisky and Adam Thielen.
Yeah,
Mitch
Trubisky?
People, oh, my God.
People think he's going to be – the stupid people think he's going to be good.
It's also Chicago, which is the number three city out there, and he's fairly new.
Russell Wilson is horribly unlikable.
All right. Listen. Our boss is a Chicago Bears fan. He was just in here. If you asked him if he thought Mitch Trubisky was a good quarterback, what do you think he'd say?
He'd say yes.
No, he wouldn't.
Yeah. He'd probably say yeah.
You think he thinks Mitch Trubisky is good?
Well, maybe he doesn't, but most Chicago fans do.
Okay. Dan's saying he has said that he is not good.
Yeah.
See, I don't think Mitch Trubisky's an awful quarterback.
Now, he's a quarterback, but not a good quarterback.
No, he runs well. You can give that.
And that'll last. Because it always lasts, running quarterbacks
in the NFL. I don't think he's good.
No, I don't think he's good at all. I think they moved up to number two to get him, right? So that will turn out to be a horrendous trade for
them. I mean, that we talk about who's non-expendable players on teams, and the only one for sure I can think of that's not a quarterback is Khalil Mack. Like, he's the reason, he's the motor of that team.
Yeah. Another shocking number is J.J. Watt all the way down to number 34. Cam Newton is 39.
Yeah, he's not popular.
And Matthew Stafford, number 43. Well, you don't have Detroit fever. Nobody's getting all hyped.
His wife had to go back to the hospital.
I know. It's a sad story. And Jimmy Garoppolo, who's only played 26 games in 5 years, was number 23 on
the list.
Where's
Sammy D?
I don't see Sammy D anywhere on here, my man. Sorry about that.
I got a signed helmet that I bought. That thing's going to be pay for itself.
Hang
maybe.
On, you bought a Sam Darnold signed helmet?
Oh yeah, and I got in a glass case.
Is it full sized?
Or is it one of those mini helmets?
No, it's full size.
How much does that? Okay, let me guess. I want to see if I can guess what a now. Did you purchase it with the glass case?
No, I bought the glass case separately.
Okay, helmet itself is probably $100.
I was going to say $125.
So I'm going to say with the autograph, $150.
It was like two something.
Oh wow, it's more than I thought.
It's an investment, Rich.
That was an investment.
It's an investment.
That's not. I didn't buy.
I'm not being facetious. What it was.
I have it where like no one sees it. I actually bought that as an investment because I think. Because I have a Barry, JT gave me a Barry Sanders signed mini helmet.
Yeah, yeah.
And like it's worth like, which is great. I love it. But it's worth like $150.
Yeah. There's one NFL signed thing that I got, and it was a Tom Brady football. I got it. I had an opportunity to get one fairly inexpensive. I'm like, that's going to be worth something.
Told you I have a Joe Namath. Ever tell you that?
No.
I have a Joe Namath signed football from like the early 70s.
There you go.
Yeah.
How about that? Out of the bar and just went.
I'm also the guy who spent $1,500 on baseball cards one night.
That's true.
Did he kiss you after? I'm going to kiss you.
No.
I don't even care about
that. I got that and an O.J. Simpson. I was really young. I interrupted
I have an O.J. Simpson at my parents' house.
Yeah, the O.J., he signed a napkin for me in a diner on Long Island.
I have it on a napkin.
Had a trace of crimson on it.
No, you know what it said? It said, to John, peace and love, O.J. Simpson, number 32.
Those were the times.
Yep, I still have it.
To John, run. And then he said to you,
I want to kiss you. I couldn't care less about the team struggling.
Even though it was unfair, it was funny. Admit it was funny.
I talked to Namath after that, and he had to check himself into rehab and a bunch of stuff.
See, that's stupid, because, I mean, it was a party for him.
Well, that's my problem with it. That Namath clip
is funny.
Well, now, by the way, he would be, I think it's funny, too. But, by the way, now he would be, can you imagine if now you told a woman that you wanted to kiss her?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he'd be banned from the league. He'd never be able to, like, go on a field again. But, yeah, they had a party for the Jets, that era of Jets or whatever year it was. They had a party for the team, and he's minding his own business on the sideline. And they come up to him. They obviously know he's drunk.
I want to kiss you. I couldn't care less about the team struggling.
If you did that now, watch yourself.
That was great TV. It's one of those times where if you saw it live, you're like, I'm one of the lucky ones.
I saw it live. I did see it live. Excellent. It was a Jet Monday Night Football game.
All right, when we come back, I will give you the cast salaries for Game of Thrones. Who's making more than who?
The girl with the eyebrows makes more than everyone.
The unibrow.
Apparently she had a sex scene and she had to explain it to her parents.
It wasn't anything explicit.
Oh, look at you.
It wasn't. I don't think it showed anything. Mm.
Side.
At what point in the show? 30 minutes and 20 seconds. Game of Thrones, are you? Let's see. Are you? What are the evil people called? The Night Crawlers?
The Night King?
You know, the people that
the White Walkers.
Yeah, they have no shoes on.
Okay, D.A. all of a sudden has shown up. Thank you, D.A.
Yes,
I mean, now he's obsessed with zombie feet.
Science fiction feet.
You can't see if you're listening on the radio. Fred wiggles his fingers.
I know. You have to watch
like
on
he's
Twitch
wimpy about
really
to eat like a burger.
Force,
you
know? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
I'll gladly pay you Tuesday
for a foot rub today. Don't mind if I do. Lick-a-rooney.
We'll be back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
For the latest podcasts, for the latest sports news, and for Tutcher and Rich, download the 98.5 The Sports Hub app now.
.5 The Sports Hub, we're Tutcher and Rich. And Rich, what do you got?
Game of Thrones.
any excuse to play the theme song of the greatest game we've ever played.
My daughter is obsessed with that game. She was talking about it yesterday.
Oh, really?
She kept complaining that the flush was too long and that why I couldn't make the flush shorter.
Oh, okay. Well, maybe that's something we can correct. I like having a focus group.
You know, I'm like, you know, I don't control the toilets. And she's like,
No, that would be Bert and Nick who control the toilets.
We have a lot of toilet talk in my house.
It sounds like it. Well, the final season of Game of Thrones is right in the middle of things, and it looks like a million people are going to die starting this Sunday.
But if you want, and horribly.
Yeah. I mean, this is what you've been waiting for.
Yes.
This Sunday is the episode that you have been waiting for, even if you don't watch the show.
Two episodes, like, building back up the characters and the interaction between them, and they're all at this castle called Winterfell, and the Army of the Dead's about 1,000 yards away, and they spent all this time rebuilding relationships, and I could completely see all of them getting wiped out the first 20 minutes of this episode.
Yeah, it's been two episodes in a row of, like, a very special episode where people are, like, telling their feelings for each other, and now it's time for people to get murdered. Now, if you want to know how much these people make on Game of Thrones, this is from last year, okay? From the season, or the, yeah, I guess it'd be the year before, but the season that isn't the final season, there are several members who make the same amount of money. The guy who plays Jon Snow, Daenerys Targaryen, Cersei, Tyrion Lannister, the little guy, and Jaime Lannister, they're all making guess how much per episode?
Say $250,000.
$500,000.
$500,000?
$500,000 an episode, each one of those guys are making. That's pretty close to Friends. I thought that near the end, Friends are making $1 million an episode.
Okay. I don't know, they made me laugh a million times.
However, they are saying that those main cast members for this season, which is only six episodes, they made $1.07 million.
Wow.
What about the Dink Man?
What's that? Dinklage, yeah, he's one of them.
Tyrion Lannister is Peter Dinklage.
Yeah, okay. So he makes that much. Now, Sansa Stark, who is Sophie Turner, who's coming out in one of what looks like the worst X-Men movies ever, Dark Phoenix. Also, Arya Stark, the unibrow, as you said, and right. Bran Stark, the dude who just sits there and stares at people creepily.
Yeah.
They make $175,000 an episode. Can you imagine being Bran?
Wait,
and
why?
You're getting $175,000 episodes just to be like a living internet meme?
Yeah.
Just to sit there and...
Bran sits like... with but a glossy eyed look in a wheelchair.
But the two girls are main characters.
Yes, they are.
Yeah. Why are they getting...
I don't know.
Maybe it's because they're not as main as Jon Snow. Not as Daenerys.
Right now, Sansa Stark has been. She has been.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, that may be the case. But I know that most people, when they think of the show, they think of Jon Snow, they think of Daenerys.
Okay.
Now, maybe they should be making as much as, what's his name? Jaime Lannister, possibly.
Yes.
Who came back and is now kind of chill. Oh, I almost teared up when he knighted that
woman.
He's
a hunk. He's a hunk, Jaime Lannister.
It's a one-handed hunk. So there you go. That is, that's what's happening. That's how much they're all getting paid.
All right,
and I'll be seeing the scenes of where the places where winter fell. Actually, you know what? In Iceland, that's where they filmed the world north of the wall.
Really?
So, yeah.
Well, now you got to take pictures for me.
Well, yeah, it'll look just like it.
I'm sure you'll have lots of time.
Well, enjoy yourself in Iceland there, Richie. Rich,
enjoy the weekend.
Thank you very much. You guys have fun.
What do you got going there, Scotty Z?
Football and hockey.
All right. That's what I like to hear.
Draft day.
I know, the draft is tonight.
Come on, move up.
I'm going to watch Kevin Costner to get excited.
That's move up.
It's draft day, baby.
Yep.
Kevin Costner, that's right. All right, everyone, enjoy the evening. Lots of sports. Bye.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.